Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The most valuable commodity I know of is information. Wouldn't you agree?
I got $5. This is a run to the left.
How many tackles can one man break?
You're saying that humans need fantasy to make life bearable.
Humans need fantasy to be human.
My goodness, that was good.
You guys are pros. The best.
Relentless, refusing to give up.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
What is up, everybody? Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Fantasy Flex Podcast. This is your fantasy preview for week 12 in the NFL. I am your host, Chris Raybon. And on today's podcast, we will break down the Thursday Thanksgiving DFS slate and also dive into the week 12 main slate, build some lineups on FanDuel and DraftKings. Joining me, as always, one of the top rankers in the game, Sean Kerner. Sean, happy Thanksgiving. What's going on, man?
What's up? Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. So what? Which Thanksgiving side are you taking in cash? What's your go-to Thanksgiving side?
Gotta be stuffing. Stuffing and gravy, man.
Yep. Well, so my mother-in-law makes a really good stuffing. And instead of turkey, which I don't like turkey. I don't think anybody does, but I really don't like it. She uses Italian sausage. It's the best stuffing I've ever had. So I would agree. Stuffing all the way for me.
Yeah, and I would also go, like, got to have the stuffing. I also like cranberry sauce. That's one a lot of people, it's kind of an underrated one, kind of acquired taste, but I like the cranberry sauce as well.
Yeah, that's it. Not by itself, like when it spills over into, like, the mashed potatoes and other stuff, it gives some nice, like, pizzazz. But I don't like it by itself.
I'm talking about you got your stuffing, meat, your turkey, your ham, whatever, and some mashed potatoes, and you got some cranberry sauce. It just finish the tops it off.
I would agree with that.
All right, we have a packed slate to get to, but first, our contest winner is Big T Dit. Thank you for the 5-star review, Big T Dit. Congratulations, you have won a free year of Action Pro. Just hit up podcast@actionnetwork.com to claim your prize. And if you are a fan of the show, please leave us a 5-star on Apple, and we pick our favorite review each week and give you a free year of Action Pro. All right, let's get into the Thursday night. Well, not Thursday. I shouldn't say night. The Thursday Thanksgiving DFS slate.
We got all day long, baby. All day long.
Yeah, we got the Bills at the Lions starting it off early in the morning on the West Coast, afternoon on the East Coast. Then we got the Giants and the Cowboys after that, and the nightcap is the Patriots going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. So that's some pretty interesting games to choose from. This Bills and Lions game has a total of 54.5 as we record this on Tuesday, and the line is Bills by 9.5. So expecting the Bills to put up a big number, but there could be all kinds of fantasy goodness in this one. So let's go position by position, starting with quarterback. Who do you like for this slate?
I just got to go with the top dog here with Josh Allen against the Lions. You know, he could have a massive game here. It's going to be indoors. And the Lions have allowed the most completions, 20-plus yards downfield. So, and the Lions' run defense has been pretty good lately. You know, they slowed down the Packers' rushing offense with both A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, not really getting going against them. And then Saquon Barkley last week got balled up. So I just think it makes sense to go top-heavy at quarterback. I think you go with Kirk Cousins is kind of cheap as well. But I think stacking Josh Allen with Diggs, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox makes the most sense. And then there's a ton of under-the-radar value at other positions. So I'll be contrarian and, you know, find lower rostered guys at the other positions. But at QB, I think you got to go Josh Allen here.
So love Josh Allen, obviously my highest projected quarterback of the week and highest projected quarterback on this slate by 10 points in my model over Dak Prescott. I have Allen at 27.2 and Prescott at 17.7. So almost 10, like 9.5, but you get the point. Massive gap between the two. But I will say this. These are the kind of slates. There's three games. So you got to make sure to think through all the different possibilities because you don't want to be right and still be wrong. And what I mean by that is we all love the Bills offense indoors against this Lions defense that, well, they have shown improvement. I think, you know, Kirby Joseph and some guys, Aiden Hutchinson, obviously making a difference. Still a defense that should give up points to Buffalo. So if we're right about that, how can we take advantage on a three-game sweep? I think the quarterback you need to roster is Jared Goff. Because if the Bills put up what Vegas thinks they're going to put up, I mean, they're 9-point favorites with a total of 54.5. So what's that? Let's see, about 32 implied, about 30 to 35 points is what the odds makers are expecting. And I'm pretty much in line with that. I think the Bills can put up a big number here. Then we got the home Lions. This home Lions team, they're always in the game and they put up massive point totals, you know, kind of in shootouts when they're at home. On the road, it doesn't always work out like that. But you remember in week one against Philadelphia, 38-35, the Eagles won. Week two at home for the Lions, 36-27 over the Commanders. Week four, the Seahawks put up 45. The Lions put up 45 at home. The Seahawks put up 48. Shootout. 31-27 Dolphins in Detroit in week eight. And then the only aberration was that Packer game. But remember, Aaron Rodgers threw a bunch of picks at the goal line. If he connects on those, that likely ends up in a shootout as well. So I think that Goff, you know, he's kind of been able to just hand it off to Williams, our boy, and, you know, Justin Jackson getting involved. But this is a game where they might need Jared Goff to score 30 to 35 points, which means he's going to have to put it in the air. And you have that correlation between a quarterback that's double-digit points better than any other quarterback. But now with Goff, you have that correlation. So that's my kind of under-the-radar play in this slate if you're not going to pay up for Josh Allen.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And, you know, teams that use Jared Goff are going to have a ton of money to spend. So I think a lot of teams that have Goff are going to have – they're going to be able to afford Diggs and Jefferson. So I think you're going to see overlap with teams that take Goff. So I think – if you go the Goff route, you have to be comfortable leaving what, like a K left over. But that's definitely a situation where you want to try to still be unique if you use Goff, because a lot of people are going to be able to. There's not that many like blue chip players on this slate. So even if you take Goff, I think you're still going to have to be somewhat contrarian with the rest of your team.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a lot of stacking options to be contrarian on the Lions, because we just talked about it. It's been mostly the Amon-Ra St. Brown show. But if you're expecting Goff to play from behind, maybe has to throw for 300 yards, it's going to be somebody besides St. Brown. Maybe it's just one of the tight ends gets a touchdown. Maybe Khalif Raymond pops a big play. Maybe, you know, Chark is healthier this week. But there are a lot of contrarian options, which is another reason lot of contrarian options on the Lions, which is another reason why I do like Goff. Let's jump to running back. Who do you like?
Yeah, so if you do go with Goff, I think like going with like DeAndre Swift or even Justin Jackson would be sneaky as well. But for running back, I think the obvious play is Ramondre Stevenson. He is way too cheap. And, you know, last week Damian Harris started, but Stevenson was really the workhorse back from the second drive and on. Plus he's game script proof. So if, you know, they end up in a trailing game script, at Minnesota, which could happen. You know, he could have a big game. I'm projecting him for 4.5 receptions here. Plus, the Vikings are a zone heavy team. So it's just a great matchup for Stevenson. Digging a little bit deeper, I think James Cook is a great play. He's coming off the best game of his career, going for 86 yards on 11 carries. He was seeing a lot more playing time in neutral situations. But if this is a game where, you know, the Bills could easily blow out the Lions, Cook's going to be the lead back later in the game as well. So he's definitely a good leverage play against, you know, Josh Allen team. So I think if you're going with a Jared Goff lineup, I think James Cook makes a lot of sense too to correlate with that. So I think Cook is probably the sneaky play, and he's super cheap on DK right now.
Yeah, he's been coming on. I mean, you know, they've been looking for that complement to Singletary. And I think a lot of people assume that's why they traded for Nyheim Hines. No, they traded for Nyheim Hines so that he could handle punt returns and do a lot of, you know, be the guy that touches the ball in key situations, because Isaiah McKenzie, you know, he's had his issues as a receiver and as a returner. So they wanted to upgrade at that spot. And that's why you haven't seen Hines really factor into the rotation. I think Cook is going to be that guy that maybe, you know, they different kind of player, but, you know, they wanted Zach Moss to be that complement to Devin Singletary. So, you know, they wouldn't have to rely on Singletary down the stretch like they've had to these last couple of years as they're making that Super Bowl run. So, yeah, I think you continue to see Cook emerge, and always like the young guys on, you know, the short rests.
Yep.
So love that call. You mentioned a guy that I'll go to as a dart throw, and that is Justin Jackson. I think Jackson is very interesting because there is a number of different outs with Jackson. For one, he's been factoring into the regular running backfield rotation for this Lions team. You know, Jamal Williams has been getting about 60% of the carries, but then Swift really is only playing, you know, 20-ish percent of the snaps, and Jackson is picking up the rest. And Jackson, his route participation rate was just as high as Swift these last 2 weeks, right in the mid 30s. And Jamal Williams, you know, we've talked about this. He doesn't really go out in many routes. He's going to be the early down grinder, which the Lions have had a chance, you know, to do because they've been in a lot of positive game script. But if the Lions have to now go into hurry up mode, you're not only going to see DeAndre Swift, you know, especially on a short rest. So Justin Jackson, I think, could easily see, you know, 30 to 40% of the snaps in this game. And you also have the out where if indeed the Bills do end up blowing out the Lions, well, Jackson is the third string back on a short week. So Jackson could conceivably get, you know, let's say it's kind of a result like the Cowboys Vikings last week. Jackson could get, you know, a lot of the third and most of the fourth quarter and catch a lot of screen passes, easy, you know, dump offs against prevent defense, things like that. And, you know, if they're close, they still rotate Jackson in. He'll still show up in the red zone now and then. So I just think there's a lot of different ways for Justin Jackson to score in this game. And I don't think many people are going to be on him, you know, the way they should, just because there's so many other guys like a James Cook that you know, feel smart, that I don't think like Jackson is going to be the chalk, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, that's a great call. And a three-game slate, he doesn't need like a massive game to really be in the winning lineup. Just last week's game alone would probably be enough. He had 66 rushing yards, a catch for 11 yards. Obviously, we'd want more than that. But on a slate like this, he doesn't need that much volume. And yeah, this is a game flow that could favor him. Might be not a great week to play Jamal Williams. But yeah, I like Justin Jackson. I think he's like the cheap. He's the same price as CJ Ham. So there you go. He's super cheap.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And one other guy I mentioned, because I just love him, I don't think you worry about Zeke here. I think you pay for Pollard in this spot. I mean, this guy is just running so well. And the Giants are allowing 5.3 yards per carry to opposing halfbacks. So, like, this is the matchup of matchups for a guy like Pollard, who just rips off chunk gain after chunk gain. So, you know, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh man, you know, Zeke's going to kind of be splitting the carries. Maybe Zeke gets a goal line carry. Tony Pollard doesn't need to the goal line to score touchdowns, as we, true, as we saw last week. So I think that, and Tony Pollard's a guy who, if the Giants play man coverage, Tony Pollard's not really a guy who's going to pick up a lot of blitzes. He's not a great pass blocker. So he may still be in the route, and they may use one of the tight ends to actually pick that up. Remember, they're also going with a lot more 1-2 personnel. So they could have a guy like Ferguson, Hendershot, maybe even Dalton Schultz pick that up and get Pollard isolated on those weak Giants linebackers and man coverage. Oh, man, it's just such a juicy matchup for him. All right, let's jump to what's always the key position in fantasy DFS, and that's wide receiver. You mentioned the studs at the top. Justin Jefferson is the highest priced receiver on DraftKings, followed by Stephon Diggs. Jefferson's 8.2K, Diggs is 8K, CeeDee Lamb next at 7,100, and Amon-Ra at 6,600. Those are the top four. Then there's a big drop off. Who do you like?
I'm going to go with the guy that's that big drop off. The number five receiver is Gabe Davis. He's 5,300, but this is a potential eruption spot against the Lions. Like I said, you know, the Lions defense has allowed the most receptions, 20 plus yards downfield. So this could be a big Gabe Davis week and spot for him. Going a little bit farther down the list, I like Nelson Agholor at 3,100 against the Vikings here. He's just a sneaky play because his rostership will probably be extremely low, like probably like 3% or less here. But last week he operated as the number two wide receiver. He had a 64% routes run rate. And weeks 1 through 4, when he was averaging around 70% routes run rate, he was a top 50 wide receiver. He was wide receiver 47 in PPR. So, you know, the Pats could get into a trailing pass heavy game script here, and we could see Agholor have his standard, you know, 2 to 3 big games a season. It could be here on a 3-game slate. So I like Agholor just based on his opportunity and his price, and his rostership will be low. So I think he's one of my favorite cheaper options on the slate.
Yeah, I saw that that he ran the, you know, outside of Jacoby Myers, who was in the 90s, Agholor was number two, and they kind of split everything up after Agholor pretty equally, but Agholor was on the field about 2/3 of the time. Now, we don't know if that will continue because it's, it's the Patriots, but like you said, I don't think a lot of people are going to be on him to begin with. So you don't really have anything to lose by taking a shot on the guy that was the Patriots' number two wide receiver a week ago.
Yeah, and Parker, you know, they eased Parker in last week, but this is a short week. So I'm not expecting Parker's workload to like take a massive leap here. But it was just notable that Agholor, you know, he pushed down Kendrick Bourne, the rookie Tyquan Thornton, down the pecking order a bit. So they're trying to get Agholor going. So on a short week, I don't know if they're going to be able to make too many changes. So I do expect them to be, you know, number two behind Myers this week again.
Yeah. Anyone else there?
Well, Noah Brown, I think he sticks out at 3,500, and Richie James, especially now that Wandell Robinson is out for the season, but it looks like Richie James himself is on the injury report. So that's something to monitor. Looks like he's dealing with a knee injury, but if James does suit up, you know, at 3,400, we've seen him sort of fill in, you know, snap for snap what Wandell Robinson role was. So he could be sneaky on this 3-game slate as well.
Yeah. Speaking of sneaky, I'm going to go all the way to min price and go with Isaiah Hodgins for the Giants, because he was essentially operating as a top three receiver, the second perimeter receiver alongside Slayton. He overtook Kenny Galladay and Marcus Johnson after being signed off the Bills practice squad a couple of weeks ago. And remember, Daboll comes from the Bills, so Hodges knew the offense already, which is why he was able to immediately slot in. And they've been looking for somebody. Remember, Daniel Jones is barking at Marcus Johnson for dropping that touchdown. And Galladay, every time he gets a target, it's a drop. So Hodgins has been that second outside receiver. And yes, Richie James will be the slot receiver, but Hodgins ran a route 65% of the time 2 weeks ago, 56% last week, operating as that, you know, number three receiver on the Giants. And with Wandell Robinson, a guy who we saw is capable of a 100-yard game and a bunch of catches, with him out of the lineup, there is going to be some target redistribution here. You know, we talked about on the other pod, you know, maybe Saquon Barkley sees some of it, but realistically, there's going to be – this is the Giants. There's going to be guys who you've never heard of that are probably get a target or two in this game. So I think it's really smart to go with Hodgins, a guy who, you know, he seems new, but he's already – kind of been installed there, and he already knew the offense. And he showed pretty good chemistry, you know, with Daniel Jones. I know he had a fumble last week, but you know, they like him. I think they're going to continue to play him. And he's got five catches for 70 yards already in those two games, just kind of walking in off the street, essentially off the Bills practice squad into a starting role for the, for this Giant team.
Yeah, I like that call. And he is literally min price at 3K on DraftKings.
Yeah. So, you know, people might not scroll down long enough to even find him there. So really like him. And, you know, in terms of the guys, you know, at the higher end, I think Jakobi Meyers is always overlooked. He's a guy who, this is going to be a completely different kind of game than we had with the Patriots and the Jets last week, where they didn't score an offensive touchdown. This week, you know, the Patriots defense will have some success against the Vikings offense, but I do think you'll see more points from both of these teams than we saw a week ago. And I think people might have a bad taste in their mouth. You know, the Vikings did nothing against the Cowboys. The Patriots offense did nothing against the Jets. They just got the punt return. But, you know, Myers here, he would line up in the slot. Vikings still, you know, they got Chandon Sullivan there. They play a lot of zone coverage. So shouldn't be a situation where Myers is, you know, going to get into any kind of matchup that's going to be tough for him to beat. And this Viking team, they're still 8-2. So if the Patriots fall behind, you could see one of those 8, 9, 10 catch games from Jakobi Meyers. And we saw Mac Jones post an efficient 23 of 27 game last week. And he could do something similar this week, except a lot of those catches could end up going to Meyers. So I really like him as a guy who can put up the same, he can put up an Amon-Ra type of game. He can put up a CeeDee Lamb type of stat line, but he's going to be a little overlooked and he's cheaper. Just 100 and, more than Slayton.
Yeah, and he'll be able to avoid Patrick Peterson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge when you're facing the Vikings.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Meyers, one of those, you know, number one receivers who spends most of his time in the slot. So, yeah, he'll play a couple of perimeter snaps here and there, but this is the Patriots they're talking about. They're going to get him matched up. He's their best receiver. Yep. They're going to get him matched up on who they want him to be matched up on. So, like him in that middle tier. Let's go to tight end now. Who do you like at that position?
So, I mean, pound for pound, Dawson Knox is certainly the best option at 3,500. And, you know, he ran a season high 83% routes rate last week. Also saw a season high 7 targets. This is a great spot for him. So, like I said, like stacking him with Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs makes a ton of sense. However, I think there is a sneaky tight end on the slate. Lawrence Cager, he's 2,700. Yeah, I never thought I would be able to recommend this guy, but here we are. He's a former wide receiver, converted tight end. Yep. And last week he ran a route on 71% of dropbacks. Only, you know, went for 2 catches for 20 yards. But with that kind of opportunity, especially with Wandale Robinson out for the season, you know, he could see an extra couple of targets this week. So as long as Daniel Bellinger is out, which looks to be the case this week, Cager is the Giants' lead tight end. So on a slate like this, especially, you know, a tougher matchup against Cowboys, he could have a good game. And again, he's only 2,700 on a slate like this. I don't think his rostership is going to be over, you know, what, 5%. So he's the type of play that could be the key to unlocking this slate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we talked about him on the pod last week. He didn't end up hitting, but I think he was a guy I mentioned for the main slate for that exact reason. You know, he was kind of operating as that starting tight end. The Giants, you just got to, on a short slate, on these small slates, you always got to be mindful that this team, they just kind of plug guys in, and that's what it is. So, you know, Bellinger out, they're going with Cager because they like him over Tanner Hudson, and Myrick is the blocking tight end. So I like that call. For me, I like Rock Wright as a dart throw. Again, you know, this Lion team, I think a lot of people, you know, we know Buffalo is good against the tight end, but if you watched that game last week, Harrison Bryant and Farrell Brown each had wide open touchdowns that they dropped. So, and you know, this is a game where we already talked about, if it gets away from the Lions, it could be a completely different game script. Instead of Jamal Williams getting all the touchdowns, you may see the tight ends, you may see, you're going to see Amon-Ra, but you may also see the starting tight end end up getting an easy one. So like Brock Wright, who is, you know, leading that team in tight end snaps because Hockenson, he's on the slate too, is now a member of the Vikings. So I think on anytime you're talking about a big trailing game script, you know, the starting tight end is always the guy you want, because they're not going to go with heavy personnel with 1-2 for too long when they're trailing big. But usually they'll keep that starting tight end, and he'll just kind of sit down in the zones, and you could get a boatload of catches sometimes from that. So I'll go Brock right here. All right, let's pivot to the main slate. And who do you like for stacks?
Well, the Seahawks are back on the main slate this week, so I'm going with Geno Smith again. For some reason, he's only 6K, which is really weird, but I'm going with the Geno DK Lockett stack against the Raiders this week. You know, this is a great matchup. The Raiders defense ranks dead last in DVOA against the pass, of course. The Seahawks have the sixth highest team total to open the week. Plus, you know, both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett were, you know, sort of banged up heading into the bye. They played through their injuries, but coming out of the bye, they're going to be closer to 100%, a lot fresher. So, you know, I think they're going to have a big game here. And Geno Smith, he's been tapping into his rushing upside a lot more lately. He has 20 or more rush yards in five of the last seven games. Plus, you know, they're getting Kenneth Walker more involved in the passing game as well. So that's only going to help Geno's overall yardage. So love that, our true and true, you know, Seahawks stack there. And then I'm also going with Jeffrey Wilson and the Dolphins defense against the Texans here. Very likely we see the Dolphins blow up the Texans here. And this is obviously a great matchup for running back. So this is just a good stack to leverage against, you know, Tua, Tyreek, Waddle stacks. You know, they could get off to a big lead early on and then, you know, take their foot off the gas. Similar to what we saw against the Steelers a few weeks ago. So this is a dream matchup for both Wilson and Moser. But I think if they get a big lead, you know, Wilson makes sense to be the grinder back, you know, trying to preserve the lead because he's just more of a grinding running back, whereas Mostert's more of a home run threat. So I think even if they get up big, they're going to stick with Wilson here. He could have a big game, you know, multiple touchdown upside, and then stacking him with the Dolphins defense, who should be able to go off here against Davis Mills and the Texans.
Yeah, you know, like that is that defense, man, for the Texans. It's not very good. So I think you got to attack it in all ways possible. I like Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle again against this defense, but especially Tua and Tyreek. Tyreek leads the entire league in yards per route run against zone coverage. And the Texans are number one in zone coverage rate. That's what they do under Lovie Smith. So, you know, every time we see this Dolphin team play, they're just throttling somebody, you know, with Tua in the lineup. So I think, you know, that's how they get up big. They're going to throw the ball. Yes, the Texans have a bad run defense, but, you know, they have a bad defense. And I think the Dolphins are going to be able to move it through the air and on the ground as well. So I think Tua is a good bet for 303 touchdowns here. So love him in that stack with Tyreek. And I think an under the radar one is Ryan Tannehill, Treylon Burks. And you could throw in Robert Woods, because this Bengals offense, you know, they're one of the better offenses in the league. And even facing a tough Titans defense like this that gets pressure, you know, they could still put up points. We saw that against Pittsburgh. I mean, TJ Watt had an amazing, and that whole front, really, I mean, they were creating havoc, batting passes in the air, picking passes off that were batted, you know, getting sacks, all that. But Joe Burrow is still able to put up a good offensive game and get them in the end zone. And I think that you could see a similar kind of thing play out here in this one and put Tannehill in a trailing game script. And, you know, he doesn't get those too often. He gets the handoff to Derrick Henry. They play really good defense. But I think the Bengals are one of those teams that could put up points on the Titans, to where you might see another one of those, you know, 300-yard games from Tannehill. And I don't know what was going on with Downing last week. I mean, you know, he unfortunately got arrested when he got back from the game. But I mean, the fact that they to salt the game, they threw a 50-yard bomb downfield to Treylon Burks. Like, I like that. Like, give me some aggressive Todd Downing in this Titans offense. So it's kind of a wild card here where their receivers are just kind of rounding into shape now that you got Burks back healthy. You know, Burks, Woods, and Westbrook Akina as a three. That's pretty solid, you know, and Hooper's playing well. So, you know, don't look now, but the Titans, who pretty much for most of the year had one of the weakest receiving cores in the league. They're kind of rounding into shape a little bit here. And Tannehill, he's showing that he can produce when he has good pieces around him. So I think that one's sneaky for kind of a contrarian trailing game script type of thing.
Yeah, as somebody that just needed Derrick Henry to get just a couple more rushing yards, I did not like that play. But yeah, doing a double stack is certainly aggressive. I don't know if I'd go that far, but certainly with Treylon Burks, I think you could also make a case for your boy Chig Okonkwo.
Yep.
He now has a 30-yard catch or more in three straight games. So he's a guy that probably doesn't even need that many targets to be a slate breaker. But that is a good call. They were definitely a lot more pass heavy than I anticipated against a good pass defense, against a run funnel defense. So yeah, I like seeing them open up. And Treylon Burks, you know, he's finally healthy, finally has Ryan Tannehill under center. So he's definitely a guy I'd be willing to target in GPPs for sure.
And don't sleep, if it looks like the Cardinals may hold out Murray again, don't sleep on Colt McCoy either, because I think the Chargers could put up a lot of points on, you know, on one side. And McCoy, you know, they've shown they're willing to go pass heavy. He's got Hopkins. He should have Marquise Brown. We'll see what's up with Rondale, yeah. But you know, he's going to have weapons, and they've shown they're willing to go pass heavy. So if they're trailing, I think he's a cheap one as well. Who do you like for dart throws?
Do you like darts, Ted?
Oh, they're okay. I'm more of a cornhole man myself.
Bunch of cheap wide receivers. So Garrett Wilson, you know, he's 4,300. He's been kind of stuck there recently. And the reason we don't want to play him there is because Zach Wilson sucks. But if they, you know, have Mike White or Joe Flacco under center this week, you know, Garrett Wilson's going to be very enticing at 4,300. Trenton Irwin at 3K this week. He operated as the clear number three wide receiver for the Bengals. He had like a 71% routes run rate. And the Bengals just released Mike Thomas, so that clears up even more potential routes for Irwin. You know, this is if Ja'Marr Chase misses again this week, which I think will happen. Plus, this is a matchup where, you know, the Bengals might be without Joe Mixon. The Titans are a pass-funnel defense, so we could see more passing yards go around. And getting the Bengals' number three wide receiver at min price is very enticing to me. Rashid Shaheed is another min price guy who could go off this week. He only, you know, caught one pass for 8 yards last week, but he ran around 68% yep. of the dropbacks. He ran one more route than Chris Olave
yep.
For some reason. So we've seen his big play potential. So just being out there for extra snaps and routes just increases the odds. We do see him make a huge play. So he is definitely sneaky at min price, even though it is a tougher matchup against the Niners. With him, all it takes is one big play. And one more is DeAndre Carter. You know, he's 3,700 and, you know, once Mike Williams went down, he still operated as the clear number three receiver with an 89% routes run rate. So even though Keenan Allen's back, he looked great. You know, Josh Palmer's still really good. You know, Carter's still going to be the number three receiver in this Chargers offense. So I like him. You know, he's super cheap right now at 3,700. So he's another good cheap option this week.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this Chargers just can't keep all their guys healthy at once. But Carter, you know, he should be out there on the field, and you know, those guys will take coverage away from them, and yep. that's all you need. I like Nico Collins going up against Miami in this one. I think Miami is going to have success on offense, and so the Texans are going to have to throw the ball and play catch up. And, you know, Collins actually ran more routes than Brandon Cooks last week. His route participation rate was 83 to Cooks 80. And, you know, ever since Cooks had that blow up, he really hasn't had the same role he had earlier in the season. And I think they're transitioning a little more to Collins, you know, kind of overtaking him as that weed guy of the future going forward. So I like Collins in the spot and where you could get just a bunch of volume. He did have 5 catches on 7 targets last week, but failed to reach the end zone. But this Miami game, I think, could be a high scoring one. So like Nico at 4,100. And I also like Treylon Burks. He's pretty cheap, just like Garrett Wilson. You know, I think this is the time when you want to kind of bet on rookies to break out. So, you know, we saw Burks have that massive game on primetime, and that could continue. You know, we think of the Titans, okay, they're going to be this run first team, but the Bengals have a better chance than most at putting up a decent point total on this Titans team, which would force them to throw more than they have been in the past. So like Burks as well.
How about these Chiefs receivers at min price? You got Justin Watson and Sky Moore at min price. I'm guessing Juju returns this week, right? But Kadarius Toney is probably out.
Yeah, so there is an opening in that number three role with Tony being out. You know, Watson ran around 97% of the dropbacks last week. I bet the over on his, what was it, 1.5 receptions, which in retrospect looks, you know, it was like, wow, that was just a, you know, a gift. But he's kind of been the guy that stepped up. But Moore was having a really good game. And I think Moore kind of slots into that Nicole Hardman, Kadarius Toney role better. So there is a bit of a question as to which one of those two guys it is. But I think both of them are decent plays. I think it's something you just kind of have to monitor as the week progresses, see who's running with the ones. But the route participation was Watson 97%, Moore 42%. Last week with MVS at 76%, Tony at 24%, and Marcus Kemp at 3%. So, you know, Watson could just be filling in for that Juju role. But he's the guy in every time they need like an extra guy, he gets the playing time over Moore. And even this season, just he's their fourth receiver, really. He's been their fourth receiver for much of the year over Sky Moore as is. So I think Watson is an intriguing bet, because I think Sky Moore is a little more obvious. So
yeah,
I would probably lean Watson just based on the on what we've seen.
I'm about to throw one more dart throw out.
Y'all take your darts over here pretty seriously, huh?
In that matchup itself, Kyron Williams should be a trailing game script, and the Rams just released Daryl Henderson right now.
Oh, so wow, I did not see that.
It is Kyron Williams time. I've been screaming for people to stash him. But this definitely doesn't set up to be a Cam Akers game. So I think this is the week we see Kyron just fully unleashed. So he is now a dart throw at 4,900 on DK.
Did they make a corresponding move? Like, who would be the third running? Is it going to be Rivers again?
I would assume so, right? He's still on the practice squad.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this literally just happened.
Yeah, no, you're breaking the news to me. I did not know this, but yeah. I could see it coming. I mean, Henderson, you know, it was obvious that he was kind of mixed up in that Cam Akers spat too, but I guess it's not his style to like come out publicly. But remember when they were both in the preseason, like they both had these mysterious injuries and came back on the same day, and you know, McVay's always searching for like elevating practice squad guys and giving them carries, and it was obvious he wasn't happy with Henderson or Akers. And it's crazy that Akers remains on the team.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But you know, this is a good spot for Kyron too. He's, you know, a good pass catching back, but he's like a, you know, like a dollar store Austin Eckler. Mm-hmm. He could certainly handle a full workload. So I think that with the Rams season just circling down the drain, why not unleash him for these final few games? So, you know, they like him. He was their fifth round pick. Great back out of Notre Dame. So I think now's the time to unleash him. So I definitely want to be heavily invested before that does happen. So I think just this week is the perfect time to play him.
Yeah, I mean, we're just finding this out. By the time people are setting the line for Sunday, he might be the chalk cash play. I mean, we might get news that they're releasing Henderson because they intend to just go with Williams as a starter the rest of the year, which I could see. I would say that's probably better than a 50-50 shot. So, but either way, I mean, even if he is just that kind of free square cash play, that's still very valuable. So either way, yeah, like Kyron's obviously going to get a big bump. Now, on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now, you can win on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, rushing yards in football or number of points in basketball. Then choose the amount of money that you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about Over Under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my friends' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my group's picks with the tap of a button, along with Over Under integrated into the fantasy experience itself.
It's insanely fun to ride it out together. So stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. On your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/action, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Again, go to sleeper.com/action and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's build some lineups. Let's start with DraftKings, and we'll build a tournament lineup. I think I went first on DraftKings last week, so okay. Start us off.
I should probably update my Rams projections to see if Kyren does, you know, pop as a cash game type play. But I think that we'll start with, let's go with Geno Smith to start.
Okay.
He's 6K, just can't pass up that value. So let's go with him.
Then I'm going to stack him with DK Metcalf, one of my favorite receivers this week at 6,500.
Love it. Let's take a quick look at defense, see if anybody sticks out. Oh God, wait, the Chiefs defense? They're 2,800. They're facing the Rams. It'll be Wolford or Perkins.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, they're going to be chalky, but I still like it.
Yeah, who cares? I don't care about being chalky with defense, but
yeah.
Perkins might be, like, you know, he has rushing ability. He might not throw as much to have turnovers or sacks, but either way, Chiefs that cheap is just a no-brainer.
Yeah, he's a third-string quarterback, so I mean.
Yeah.
He's running for a reason because he's not great at throwing it. Let's go with Antonio Gibson at 5,400. As you mentioned, got more of the carries than Brian Robinson a week ago. So he got 18 carries and also had 3 catches for 31 yards, 18 for 72. And he's getting a decent amount of the scoring position work. Remember, he had the touchdown against the Eagles. So he's kind of reemerge as the starting running back after all that, you know. We don't want this guy. It's
funny how that worked out.
It's funny how when a guy in Robinson is averaging 3.4 yards a carry, then you want to go back to the explosive guy. But you know, I'm sure Robinson's still not 100%, but you know, he gives him that physical presence, but Gibson's definitely more explosive, and we know they're gonna want to wean on the run again and as a home favorite against the Falcons. So yeah, let's go Gibson 5,400.
All right, I'm gonna go super cheap at wide receiver. I did like your Nico Collins call. I feel like I'm always pretty high on him, and he's 4,100 against the Dolphins. Plus, you know, their tight end depth chart has been really weird lately. You know, second straight week where Brevin Jordan's been inactive, so he really doesn't have that much competition for targets. Like you said, like Brandon Cooks is the number two guy right now. So just, I love Nico's upside. He is yet to like really pop off, but that could be this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the issue with the Texans is, you know, just can they get touchdowns? Kind of like the Broncos. But this Dolphin team, I mean, they end up getting in shootouts more so on the road. So hopefully we get one in Miami this time. But I do think they're going to score points, which sets sets it up well. All right. Let's see what we got at tight end. Your boy Dulcich is 3,700.
Too cheap.
He is too cheap.
There's a lot of good cheap options this week.
Yeah. Moreau's 3,400. Yeah, fuck it. Let's go with Moreau at 3,400. I got him in the top 10 this week. And maybe we get a shootout in that Seahawks Raiders game because we already got Geno and Metcalf. So we could got some positive correlations there as well. So let's go Moreau at 3,400 against this bottom five Seahawks D against tight ends.
Love it. So we're going to have to spend up. We have 7,200 roughly remaining per player. So, oh God, DeAndre Hopkins, 7,700 against the Chargers. Yeah, let's go with that one.
All right.
Doesn't matter who's under center. Actually, kind of prefer Colt McCoy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it just takes – because, like, if you drop back a set amount of times with Murray, they're just these scrambles and things like that. That, you know, you could actually end up getting a higher target share with a guy with a more traditional pocket passer. Similar to Chicago.
Yeah, I'm guessing like Moore is probably on the bad side of questionable. And if Marquise Brown returns, he's going to be pretty limited. And Trey McBride was just sort of a check down artist. So, yeah, I just think just Hopkins' ceiling is massive here and he's way too cheap.
Absolutely. All right. So we need a running back and we need a flex and we have still over 7K.
Spend up, man. Go VIP status.
I mean, no, let's go Jeff Wilson Jr. 5,900. I'll let you spend up. I'll throw Wilson in there. So we have, because we have Nico already. So, you know, Wilson's a good.
I thought you were going to go Tyreek and just give me.
I was going to, but I'd rather let you.
You know me. I like taking the cheap guys. So I'll gladly spend 8,200. So we got, I mean, at wide receiver, we're going to have 1,000 left on the table. Kelsey, you know, doubling down on tight ends is an option.
Oh, your boy.
Josh Jacobs.
That
doesn't jive with our.
Yeah, we got Moreau. Go contrarian, Nick Chubb. That's going to be a guy that's pretty, and it's going to be rainy in Tampa. Well, I kind of like that one.
You already know the forecast?
It'll be rainy there.
He is definitely spend up to be contrarian.
Coming off a bad game.
That would leave 400 on the table. He is my boy.
And let's see.
There's like no one at wide receiver
We have tracked 8 sharp moves on the Cleveland Browns +3.5 home dog against.
Oh yeah.
And Chubb's coming. I think you got to go Chubb here.
Yeah, that I would say if you're building the same lineup, the pivot is either Travis Kelce to have 2 tight ends or Nick Chubb. We'll go Chubb here.
Yeah, I mean this is perfect. Like DFS, he's coming off of 14 attempts for 19 yards. That is. There's nothing better than, you know, picking a stud that's coming off a bad game. I mean,
especially on DK, you know, a full PPR site like DK, he's 7,800. He will be low roster.
He probably will be 5%.
2-3 touchdown upside.
Yep.
I didn't look at the weather forecast yet, but if it is raining, you know, I'm gonna like him even more.
I mean, that's what as of Tuesday, it's expected to rain. You know,
hopefully they don't move the game.
Yeah, no. All right, so Geno Smith at quarterback, 6K. Antonio Gibson, 5,400 against the Falcons at running back, along with Jeff Wilson Jr. at 5,900 against the Texans. We've got Nick Chubb in the flex at running back as well, 7,800 against the Bucks. Our receivers, DK Metcalf, Nico Collins, and DeAndre Hopkins. Tight end, Foster Moreau at 3,400 at Seattle. And our defense is the Kansas City Chiefs, just 2,800 as a 2-touchdown favorite against the Rams. I really like the Chubb addition to this lineup because that gives us like in the spirit of making a true tournament lineup. We are trying to be different.
Yeah, exactly. Because we do have some chalkier players in there, but no one's going to have this same exact lineup until they listen to us, of course. But yeah, I think this is a good mix of just like chalky good plays and contrarian. Like spending up to be contrarian type of plays.
Yep, absolutely. No, a lot of times, because, you know, we get so caught up, especially when we're doing the show, we want to kind of choose guys who we can, you know, explain away with the matchup and this and that. But a lot of times it's just choosing guys we know can score points when they're not going to be at the top of mind. And I think Chubb is certainly Chubb certainly qualifies. And there's just a lot of signs kind of pointing to him having a rebound. All right, let's go to FanDuel here. All right, I know where I'm going to start. We haven't talked about this guy as much this year, but he is still, I think he's kind of back in that top 12 wide receiver one range. And this is going to be a tough matchup for his teammate, George Kittle. So let's go with Deebo Samuel, just 6,900, nice. A nice 6,900 on FanDuel. you know, he still got it. He showed he still got the juice. And of course the pricing came out before he got a long rushing touchdown. So, it's fascinating, by the way. We kind of talked about Mitchell last week on the pod and, you know, would he continue to see more work than McCaffrey? I guess the answer is yes. So, but, Deebo is still getting carries even with all that going on. So let's go Deebo under 7K here, against the Saints. What you doing?
Yeah. Like the way you were setting it up, I was guessing T. Higgins. and I was like, oh, that's not a bad play. So I might consider him. He's a bit pricey, so let's hold off on that. Mm-hmm. But let's see. Let's go with the running back. I want to use Gibson again. He's even cheaper on FanDuel, and he's probably a better FanDuel play. I do think we should have a Kyren lineup. I want to get in on that before. I think he's even cheaper comparatively on FanDuel. So let's go with him.
All right.
Like, I haven't even updated my projections with Daryl Henderson out, and he's still kind of popping as a play.
Yeah. He ran around on 64% of the dropbacks last week. So he should be heavily involved going forward. Let's look at the quarterback situation.
Colt McCoy's the same price as Baker Mayfield.
So you're saying go with Mayfield?
He's. Colt McCoy is $100 cheaper than Zach Wilson. A weird week.
Let's go with Tua.
Oh, okay. Nice.
8,300. I think, you know, he's one of those, he's not a running quarterback like a Fields or a Lamar Jackson. He's priced right in between them. And, you know, Herbert's a little cheaper. So, and boy, Geno is cheaper. So maybe he gets a little bit overlooked in a defense that is very beatable. And this Dolphin team has a very high implied point total as a 12-point favorite at home. So, let's go to it here.
All right. Well, I'm going to stack him with Tyreek. Yes. Just obviously a bigger ceiling. So let's go with him. And I'm confident we can find cheap guys. But, you know, Tyreek's 1K more expensive than Waddle. But, you know, that's 3.5 projected more points. So I think – Tyreek's the no-brainer stacking play with Tua here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned, you know, Houston, they play zone. Tyreek, best receiver in the – I mean, you could just say best receiver in the league, but best receiver in the league against zone coverage this year by the numbers. No disrespect to Justin Jefferson. Oh, okay, let's go defense. Let's go with the most reliable defense, and that is the Carolina Panthers going against the Denver Broncos because we know they're not going to score. So
what about the Broncos against the Panthers?
I'm seeing some, you know, just because of the injuries for the Broncos, you know, that's why I was on the Raiders last week. And because we're doing this pod on a Tuesday, I'm not confident. Cause remember Bradley Chubb, edge rusher, traded, Gregory, bunch of sacks, bunch of pressures on IR, Darby corner out on IR, Kaywan Williams, slot corner on IR. You know, like it's just a lot of the guys that made that defense great are no longer on that defense. They're just playing low scoring games now because their offense stinks. So, you know, the Panthers did a pretty good job against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens last week. So, you know, now they're at home against this Bronco team that struggled to score points. And I think this is another perfect contrarian kind of play here. I mean, maybe it won't be, but I think it might be because, like, you know, the Broncos are, I think they're 3.5-point favorites on the road. They should not be favorite on the road, by the way.
Right.
But let's go with this Panther defense who has put up 9+ points in back-to-back games, 10 against the Falcons, 9 last week at Baltimore, which is impressive.
Yeah, what's I saw some stats like if the Broncos have averaged 18 points a game this year, they'd be 8-2.
Yeah, they'd only lost to the Raiders.
Ridiculous.
They would be 0-2 against the Raiders and have beat everyone else.
Well, hence why we have the extreme total here of about 35.5, 36. So either way, like either defense in this spot. So that gives us 6,600 per player remaining.
Yep.
Very nice. Let's see. So we still need a tight end. I might go there. Ooh, yikes. Tight end's kind of...
What's Taysom looking like?
Ooh. Let's see.
Can you get Taysom and Debo in the same lineup? That would be fun.
Might as well. The ultimate ceiling lineup. I mean, he's 6,500. They price him accordingly. He's more expensive than George Kittle.
Okay, yeah, no, he can't take Taysom.
So, yeah, unfortunately...
That's kind of sharp, though, because Kittle has a tough matchup, but still, yeesh.
Well, just Taysom's ceiling. He probably should be, you know, up there.
Is Juwan Johnson going to score another touchdown this week?
No.
He's every week.
I know, right? So I'm looking at, you know, Dulcich, but that, you know, we can't play him against our defense.
No touchdown.
Hayden Hurst, Evan Ingram are probably too cheap in that 5K range. I don't know if we can afford Travis Kelce. I wouldn't mind doing that, but we're going to have to spend on elsewhere.
Mike Gesicki?
Gesicki?
Double stack?
Wow, yeah. So he's 5K. I'm projecting him for 2.5 points less than Hurst or Ingram. But that, I mean, we're talking about right range of outcomes. He definitely has, you know, a 2-touchdown ceiling here. So, yeah, I do like the idea of double stacking to not with Waddle. That would make sense, but with Gesicki. So let's do that.
Yeah, get some contrarian.
Yeah, that's based on his, you know, ceiling, not his median outcome. But yeah, I do like that call.
All right, I'm going to keep with the contrarian flow for this one. And I'm going to I'm going to stack our defense with Deontay Foreman coming off a miserable game against a tough Ravens run defense. Now he gets this Bronco defense that just got destroyed by Josh Jacobs and a pretty shaky Raider O-line. And the Panthers O-line, low-key, been playing pretty decently at times, especially in the run game. So, you know, going on the road, playing as a big underdog last week, I think didn't suit Foreman. But now, you could argue that the Panthers, you know, shouldn't even be dogs in this spot, given the Broncos' inability to score points, which is what you need to win games. So, I think Foreman will be another one, just kind of like Chubb, just because there's so many other options that are cheaper. No one's going to want to touch Foreman coming off like a terrible, terrible game. So, yeah, we'll stack him with the Panthers, 6,700. So we need a wideout and we need a flex with an average of 7,350.
All right. So plenty of options at receiver, like Josh Palmer sticks out immediately. He's 6,800. Got DK Metcalf's only 7,200. We already use him, but I wouldn't mind double dipping with him. So if we were to use DK, let's see how much you would have. 7,500 for the flex. Gives you plenty of options. Yeah, let's just go with that.
All right.
And that quote, we don't have anybody from that game yet on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Perfect. All right.
So I got 7,500. So the guys who are 7,500 who I don't want to use so I can leave Sarah at the table are Montgomery and Terry McLaurin. Okay, so let's go down.
Kamara. That's about it for running backs. Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin. Olave.
You know what? Yeah. I was thinking Olave.
Mark Andrews.
Who's Baltimore playing this week?
If there's somebody that's like a couple hundred dollars more, I can go back and pivot off of Metcalf for like a Palmer. But that's a pretty big drop off, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm yeah, let's go with Chris Olave here. Bet on a rookie to keep breaking out. And the Saints are nearly 10-point underdogs, so there could be some comeback. Yeah, that's because it was between Olave and Kamara. Yeah. Kamara's very cheap at 7,100, but just looking at the, you know, ways in which he would hit, it's tough to run against that defense. And they have a lot of linebackers and safeties that can fly to the ball. So he might not have, you know, he doesn't have really the pass to a big game, even in a trailing script as somebody like Olave who could just continue to, you know, catch passes, you know, run great routes and catch passes against that zone. Warner and all those guys against Kamara. So yeah, let's go Olave and the flex. So our lineup, we have 200 left on the table. Tua, 8,300 at quarterback. Kyren Williams, 5,300. The Rams running back at KC. Deontay Foreman, 6,700 at home against Denver, stacked with the Panthers defense. We got Tyreek Hill at 9,200. DK Metcalf at 7,200. And Debo Samuel at 6,900. That is an amazing wide receiver core. And I don't know how common that particular grouping will be, just because I think, there obviously will be a bunch of Tua Tyreek stacks, but will they have Metcalf and Debo? I don't know. And Olave as well at 7,300. So really loving our wide receiving core. And then we got Gesicki stacked with Tua. So got some differentiating plays here with the Tua Gesicki stack and the Foreman Panther D stack as well. So I really like this lineup. I think this is, both of our lineups like very in the spirit of these larger field tournaments. Got the highest upside guy of the week in Tyreek here, but you're mixing him in with some very off the radar guys as well. So hopefully we keep it rolling. All right, that is going to wrap it up for the week number 12 Fantasy Flex Fantasy Preview Pod. If you want to catch more fantasy content from Sean and I, be sure to check out our Player Projections podcast over on the Action Network podcast channel. And you can also check out actionnetwork.com for all of our fantasy football rankings and projections. Follow Sean on Twitter at @_oddsmaker. Follow me at Chris Raybon. And you can find us at those same handles on the free award-winning Action Network app. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And until next time, let's give this money.
Happy Thanksgiving, gamblers. We're thankful for you.